What a great time in the Christian calendar to remember and celebrate our Savior's birth, the Savior of the world. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul also said in Galatians chapter 2, he said, I have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice, God so loved the world, he gave his Son, and then he loved us and gave himself for us. So I want to focus in our brief devotional tonight out of Ephesians 5. Please turn there or just listen carefully. Ephesians 5, I want to look at the verses 1 through 7, particularly verses 1 and 2 especially. But I want us to focus in and again contemplate the reality of Christ coming to earth to show us his love for us. He came to show his people, his friends. It says in John 15 and verse 13, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And it says, greater love hath no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So he laid down his life because he loves us as his friends. But notice here in Ephesians 5, 1 and following, Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper amongst saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. I want us just to see three things as we consider the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, how it was a demonstration of his love for us. And our response to this, I see three things in this passage that should really encourage us. First of all, it should move us, and looking at the birth of Christ and celebrating it, it should cause us to walk after God. As we think today and tomorrow, and as we spend time with family, as we withdraw and read our Bibles, hopefully meditatively, and pray and consider the great gift of Jesus Christ, as we contemplate all these things, it's so important that we consider that he came not only because he loves us, but that we might imitate him. You know, the salvation he's given us isn't just a conversion and then that's it. It's a conversion unto the change of life and imitation of him. He says, therefore, verse 1, be mimics or imitators of God as beloved children. We are loved by God. We're beloved. God loves us so much, and as a result of that, as his children, we should respond to this love with a desire to imitate him, to walk in love, to walk after God's example in Jesus Christ our Lord. As a fragrant offering, it says. He gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and as a sacrifice to God. So we should be a fragrant offering. It reminds me of Paul's words in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. See, that's our response to a contemplation of the great love that God has for us in sending his Son for us and giving us Jesus Christ as a gift. Christ our Savior and our Lord. What a blessing. What a great reminder. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for us. The church, everyone who believes, Christ was given for us that we might imitate him and walk after God. But notice here in verses 3 through 5, or 3 and 4, actually it says, walk away from sin. So not only should we imitate, the birth of Christ should cause us to imitate his example to us and great love for us, but also it should move us to walk away from sin. We live in a great day of great sin, a time of great departures in our culture, departures from reality, a departure from all that was taught in the Judeo-Christian worldview and the heritage of Western civilization. There's a collapsing of the moral fabric of culture. Of course, this is not our home. Heaven's our home. We're pilgrims passing through. We shouldn't have our roots too deep in this world anyway. But God has called us to determine as salt and light to walk away from sin. Look at the language again in verses 3 and 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Our response to the birth of Christ is to walk away from sin, to walk after God, and to walk away from everything that would dishonor his great name and his wonderful life and great sacrificial death for us. Verse 4 says, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let our lives be marked by thanksgiving. The birth of Christ should move us to thanksgiving. Remember in Luke chapter 2, which Ray read earlier, remember, the shepherds weren't depressed. They were praising God. A Savior was born. And he wasn't just the Savior who was the perfect life, but he was the Savior able to save us from our sins and produce new life in us and give us a desire to live lives of thanksgiving, walking away from sin, embracing his will for our lives, and rejoicing in his plan for his people. What a blessing. What a powerful reminder for us. And then notice lastly, in verses 5 to 7, the birth of Christ should give us a desire, by his grace, to walk in obedience. See, this beloved position we have as beloved children, is it moves itself out. It shows itself so beautifully in lives that say, yes, Lord, you said that in your word. I'll conform to that joyfully. Oh, that's your will for our lives? Absolutely. Then we'll conform to that. No hesitation. You've loved us in such a great, wonderful, sacrificial way. How could we not respond to grace but by walking in obedience? Verses 5 through 7, it says, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God or Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So we're the sons of God. We are beloved of God. God has saved us, washed away our sins, clothed us in his righteousness, given us eternal life, right? He's caused great joy in the Holy Ghost in our lives and caused us to see his great love for us. And so how should we respond? We shouldn't have covetous hearts. We should turn away from that. We should desire to not live with empty words, but with obedient lives. And then it says in verse 7, therefore, do not become partners with them. The birth of Christ says, I have died for the world, and I've called my church out of the world into the body of Christ, that you would no longer walk in partnership with the world. That doesn't mean we disdain the world. It doesn't mean that we don't love our neighbor as ourself. It doesn't mean that we now have an opportunity to dislike individuals and their and their lifestyles in such a way that we are disgusted with them and think not of their salvation. No, it should move us to pray for our neighbor, to build bridges for the gospel, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes, it should cause all that. We have a new relationship with Jesus Christ in our salvation, and the imitation process begins as we seek to live for the glory of God. Christmas is about much more than just the baby in the manger. Jesus, yes, humbled himself, becoming an infant. Absolutely, what a wonderful gift for us. But he grew up as the perfect man. And he came and humbled himself, taking on the likeness of human flesh, that he might grow in perfect obedience to his Father and be that example to us of what it means to love the brethren. Walking away from our sins, walking in obedience, understanding then that Christ has called us to rejoice in his coming. We are a blessed people. We are beloved of God. We are called now to go forward in saying a Savior has been born. God has sent his Son into the world to die for sinners. Christ has come that men might have life, eternal life, the abundant life. And so we've come to celebrate that. In the midst of all of our gift giving, we remember the great gift given to us of our Lord Jesus Christ, what great love he has for his people. I'm going to close with this passage here as we move then to celebrate his life and death for us. In John 17, this is one of the most wonderful pictures in Scripture given to us of the great love that Christ has for us. Just listen, before I pray, listen closely, John 17, in verse 24. He's praying to his Father, and he says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. Well, the mission's complete. It's been complete for 2,000 years. He's been reigning at the right hand of his Father for 2,000 years. He's putting all of his enemies under his feet as we talk and as we pray and as we sing and as we give thanks. The kingdom of God is advancing. Souls are being saved. Churches are being planted. Saints are departing this world and going into the presence of Christ. Sinners are seeing their sin and seeing the Savior that's been offered to them. Even in this room tonight, do you know the Savior? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you embraced Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you turned from your sin and called him your great God and King? Well, that's the purpose of our celebrating his birth. Not to keep him in a manger, but to realize the child is a king, and he is reigning, and he is calling all from every kindred, tribe, people, and nation to see their need for him and their need for the grace of God. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for, again, your great love for us and giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, the most wonderful gift any sinner could ask for. And you, Lord, we thank you that you came in obedience to your Father. You came in the body prepared by your Father for you, that you might die the perfect sacrificial death for us. Thank you, Lord, for your perfect obedience, leaving the throne room of heaven in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and of your Father. Thank you, Jesus, for responding and coming and dying as the perfect sacrifice. Thank you for the great privilege we have to know the gospel. There's good news. And Lord, we thank you that the good news is that sinners can be saved no matter what sins we've committed. We can be forgiven, washed clean. We can be given heaven itself if we would but see our sin and call upon you. Whoever calls upon the name of of the Lord, you tell us, shall be saved. Well, we pray that even now, as we consider these great truths, even some in this room are embracing you and saying, Lord, I follow you. I receive you. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Lord, we thank you that if we receive you by grace through faith, that we become your children and we are beloved of you, and therefore eternal life is ours. Lord, I pray right now that as we consider the forgiveness of sins, as we consider life eternal, as we remember your death, which was the reason for your coming, to glorify your Father and coming to die for a people. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us light to spend this time this evening remembering your death. In your name we pray. Amen.